Nick Salmon, the consultant from the Collaborative Learning Network, encouraged the executive board to consider bond timelines. He talked about three options for 2018, 2019, and 2020. Salmon recommended a demographic study must be completed before a plan can be finalized or before a bond decision is made. Business Administrator Todd Hauber says the study will define population projections.
So with the demographic study, we will have some geocoding and some mapping of where the student population resides right now who are attending the schools. And we've also asked them to look out 5 years and 10 years to see how that population might shift, so that we are looking at where schools should be located and what sizes the schools would need to be to house all those students. And but we're really looking at what will be in the next 5 to 10 years. What do we anticipate growth to be? Where will the housing developments show up? How will the population change in that time period? Because that's really the time horizon that we're trying to build the buildings for long term.
The Park City School District shows a decline this year in student enrollment. However, the South Summit and Wasatch School Districts are experiencing growth and overcrowding. Hauber says they've had conversations about school district boundaries in the past.
Conversations have ebbed and flowed, at least for the 5 years that I've been up here in the school district. So I'm sure those conversations will ebb and flow as we continue to find out what are the best solutions for serving the students right on our borders. With Wasatch, it's a transportation challenge. They're so far away from where the schools are. They can see our schools on the way to their schools, and same with some of the South Summit students. So there's motivations to talk at that level. Also, we're looking at the secondary level of seeing if there are ways to collaborate program offerings. So at the high school level or the CTE programs, tech programs, to see if we co-located a facility, could we have students from all the districts participate at that site? In which case, it's not quite the boundaries changing, but a program that would be offered for all of the school districts at a single site.
The number, location, and size of facilities are only part of the consideration for master planning.
The next thing that we also want to have in the master planning process is what should the learning environments look like? As we move forward to the different learning styles and the needs of the students, how should those spaces look? How should they be configured? How should they collaboration spaces be designed and things of that nature? So it's not just how many students, it's what should that environment look like as well. And this demographic study will tell us, okay, you're going to have this many students in this area for a school. How can we couple that with the ideas of how we want that learning environment to appear?
Hauber says there are physical constraints with some of the schools and being able to offer equal programming across the district.
And not all the schools are built the same. They're not all the same capacity. They're not all the same configurations. And to be able to bring those programs into play is a challenge. So we do have some physical constraints that aren't just driven by student population.
Treasure Mountain Junior High School continues to require maintenance measures.
So at this point, we're pulling it along. I don't know that we've put huge investments into it to make it last another 10, 15 years. What we're making it is appropriate for the students that are in it right now. So maintaining the systems that are in the building, making sure that the spaces are clean and appropriate for the students.
The consultant suggested hallway overcrowding could be addressed by designating 8th and 9th grade wings. He thinks it may mitigate some immediate concerns. I'm Carolyn Murray, KPCW News.